Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another segment of Center Stage. We've got a great show today. Today's show is part two of the New World Order. This is a topic that is often met with skepticism and even disbelief. Although more and more, as I mentioned last week, we're hearing terms like the Illuminati, the Bilderbergers, the Trilateral Commission, Club of Rome, socialism, globalization, global governance, and even the Council of Foreign Relations. They're all associated with our topic today, the New World Order. In 1994, David Rockefeller said, "We are on the verge of a global transformation, and all we need is the right major crisis, and the nations will accept the New World Order." My question today is, are we closer than ever? Are we on the verge of a major crisis that's going to issue in this new world order? Well, our guest today is going to help us set the facts straight. He simply goes by the name Kohan. He's an author and Negroologist who specializes in the history of the Negro people and all religions. He's a two-timer here on this stage. Welcome again, Kohan. How you doing?
Yashalawam, my beloved sister. How you doing today?
I am great. Glad to have you back.
All right. We're going to be joined today by Sister Kohan. A lot of time when I'm talking and trying to read at the same time, I tend to run ahead of myself because I know the information.
Okay.
So she's going to read for us today from some documents that I've pulled together to help us to better get a better understanding and overstanding of what we're dealing with.
Okay, that's fine. Welcome to the stage, Sister Kohan.
Thank you so much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Well, where do we want to start today? We talked a lot about the New World Order last week. Where do you want to start today?
Let's deal with where we are today.
Okay.
We talked about the Council of Foreign Relations. We talked about the Trilateral Commission,
mm-hmm.
the Bilderbergers. Now, the Club of Rome we didn't get into, and I did want to talk about them today because they are a very intricate part of what's going on.
Okay.
Okay. We'll also bring in a few other things today that, along with the BP problem that we're having down in the Gulf.
Okay.
Time for us to open our eyes and see the big picture. Quit allowing people to tell us, our media tell us what we ought to be thinking, looking at. It's time to do research.
Okay.
Okay. One of the things I always like to do when I'm starting to talk about a lecture or go on the radio, I tell people, first of all, do not believe anything that I say. Do the research.
Do the research. I agree with that. Okay.
Do the research. That way you can't say I'm making these things up. We'll give you documents. We'll tell you where to go look for them. And if you find anything else better, come back and prove me wrong. And so far out of 40 years, I've yet to be proven wrong.
I like that. That's right. Okay, so if they find information that can disprove anything you said, they can come on the show and we'll let them disprove it. But
Yeah, you know, because we have a lot of skeptics and unbelievers out there.
Right.
And I'm not a believer. My title is to know. See, to believe is accepting something as truth without absolute proof. I need documentation.
Okay.
Because documentation beats conversation. And without information, there's no transformation. I am a firm person that accepts documentation, and I do the research. Give me something to work with. So let's begin this journey, this educational journey today. Let's deal with the Club of Rome.
Okay.
The Club of Rome. My wife is going to read about the Club of Rome, and we're going to open up this particular. What is the Club of Rome, and what are they?
Yeah, give us a definition of what is the Club of Rome.
The Club of Rome.
Can she speak closer to the microphone?
Okay. The Club of Rome.
Okay.
Founded in 1968, the Club of Rome is a global think tank that deals with a variety of international political issues. According to the club's publications, the common enemy of humanity is man. According to its website, the Club of Rome is composed of scientists, economists, businessmen, international high civil servants, heads of state, and former heads of states from all five continents who are convinced that the future of humankind is not determined once and for all, and that each human being can contribute to the improvements of our societies. The Club of Rome is a neo-Malthusian organization with interlocking membership with European power elite groups such as the Committee of 300, a secret society founded by the British aristocracy in 1727, and the Bilderberg Group. Malthus argued that population was held within resource limits by two types of checks, positive ones, which raise the death rate, and preventable ones, which lowered the birth rate. The positive checks included hunger, disease, and war. The preventative checks, abortion, birth control, prostitution, postponement of marriage, and celibacy.
Okay.
So you heard
something
about a group called the Committee of 300.
Okay.
That's another group we need to, we'll get into today as well.
Okay, the Go ahead. Okay, no, I said the Committee of 300.
It's called the Committee of 300.
Okay.
We're going to tell you a little bit about them, and then we're going to get into the show because everybody's playing a part. Committee of 300, she's going to read from an article.
The Committee of 300. There is no need to use they or the enemy except as shorthand. We know who they, the enemy, is. The Committee of 300, with its Eastern liberal establishment aristocracy, its banks, insurance companies, giant corporations, foundations, communication networks, presided over by a hierarchy of conspirators. This is the enemy. And that's according to John Coleman, the conspirators' hierarchy.
Give her a list of the members.
Where did you read that from?
That's from their book, the Committee of 300s.
Okay, so that's from the book of the Committee of 300. Okay, gosh. Okay.
300 men, all of whom know one another, direct the economic destiny of Europe and choose their successors from among themselves. Walter Ratner of General Electric, 1909. Some notable members of the Committee of 300 include the British royal family, Dutch royal family, House of Habsburg, House of Orange, Duke of Alba, Prince Philip, Duke of Edinburgh, Lord Carrington, Lord Halifax, Lord Alfred Milner, John Jacob and Walt Storia of the Astor Illuminati bloodline, Winston Churchill, Cecil Rhodes, Queen Elizabeth II, Queen Juliana, Queen Beatrix.
So a lot of very famous people.
Absolutely.
Some we may know and some we may not, or some, I guess, very rich people, some we may know and some we may not know.
You've heard of Cecil Rhodes, though, right?
I'm sorry, who?
Cecil Rhodes. Rhodes
I'm not familiar with that name.
Yeah, you know, when you go to college, if you become a Rhodes Scholar, you're the top of the elite.
Right.
Cecil Rhodes.
Okay, that's who that was named after. Okay.
Uh-huh, yeah. Well, you know
how does the Committee of the 300 play into the New World Order? They're going to play in how?
They are some of your big elite people that deal with industries and things that she read off, the heads of states. They're all in this club. They're intertwined in this thing.
Okay.
Okay. Everybody that's of the so-called oligarchy, the elite group, plays a part in some part of this, I call octopus, because it has tentacles.
Okay.
And it reaches out and it touches everywhere and touches every facet or phase of life.
Mm-hmm. So every part of our existence will be affected by the New World Order.
It's being affected right now,
okay,
as we speak.
Okay.
Like we said on last week, your shelter, your food, your clothing, everything that deal with existence of mankind is touched somewhere by the New World Order or a branch or affiliate of the New World Order.
So
education.
Go ahead.
The whole thing. You know, why is it that we're so illiterate? What is happening to the minds of the people? You're taught not to think. What was one of the main tools they brought in to help us to stop thinking? Computers,
yeah.
Calculators. We don't think no more how to do figures. We go to the computer and do it.
All the social networks require you to limit what you say, therefore breaking up the English language and dumbing us down.
Dumb you down. And this texting is doing a great job on us.
Yeah. texting, and yeah, I agree, and some of the websites. So the Club of Rome and the Committee of 300 are connected, and they're all in one way or another somehow affecting the New World Order through their associations.
They are part of the destiny, or should I say the goals that have been set out there, as you read in your opening, and you read on time with it, you know, how to take control. Now, the next thing they're working on, we'll get to a little bit later on in the show, is how the Club of Rome is working with the NSA.
Okay.
And their job is population control.
Right. And we know in the New World Order that they're going to reduce us by 5.5 billion.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
So the NSA is going to be part of that.
It is a part of that, and we'll get into that, that a little bit more. I want the people to take their time out, and I hope they're listening, to get out your notebook, your pad, and take notes.
Okay.
We're not here trying to scare anybody. We're trying to pass on some food for thought to make us, to cause us to start doing more research.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just meander through this world. Start examining everything being put before you. One of the key things we want to watch in this New World Order takeover, look how the money is changing. We're talking about the International Monetary Fund, how money is being changed, how there's no silver out there anymore, there's no gold out there anymore. What is really happening?
And what is happening to us? Do we have an answer?
Yeah, it's called world control, takeover.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, I want to refer back to the book that we love to talk about, and that is called Protocol.
Yes, Protocol. Because we referred to that a lot last week, but we didn't say it was an actual book at any point. So explain to them, when was that book written, and how do they get it, or is it even in publication anymore?
Well, you know, a lot of people say that the Jews say it's a fraud, but it's in publication. We happen to come from a copy, Brother Dwar and myself, a number of years ago, and we put some copies together for some students. It's only 70 pages.
Mm.
I'm going to have my wife to read the 15th Century Protocol. It was among the works of, and we'll give the name, Victor E. Marsden, okay? It translated from the Protocol, which was himself was a victim of the revolution in Russia, but it talks about something, and I'm going to bring something to mind that's going to really get your attention. She's going to begin reading from the 15th Century Protocol, a part of what it says.
Hey, the 15th what? Protocol?
A 15th century protocol.
Okay.
The 15th century protocol. The principles and morality of these latter-day protocols are as old as the tribe. Here is one from the 15th century which Jews can hardly pronounce a forgery, seeing that it is taken from a Rothschild journal.
From what kind?
Rothschild Journal.
Okay.
The review, the Estes Jews, financed by James D. Rothschild, published in 1889 two documents which showed how the protocols are in saying that the learned elders of Zion have been carrying on their plan for centuries. On January 13th, 1489, Chemor, Jewish rabbi of Ares in province, wrote to the Grand Sanhedrin, which had its seat in Constantinople, for advice as the people of Ares were threatening the synagogues. What should the Jews do? This was the reply. Dear beloved brethren in Moses, we have received your letter in which you tell us of the anxieties and misfortunes which you are enduring. We are pierced by a great pain to hear it as ourselves and yourselves. The advice of the grand satrap and rabbis is the following. Number one, as for what you say that the king of France obliged you to become Christians, do it, since you cannot do otherwise, but let the law of Moses be kept in your hearts. Number two, as for what you say about the command to despoil you of your goods, the law was that on becoming converted Jews, give up their possessions. Make your sons merchants, that little by little they may despoil the Christians of theirs.
Now, I want to break in right there. She made a statement, and in the year of January 13, 1489,
mm-hmm.
when did Columbus come to America?
We're waiting on you to answer it.
Okay. Now, anybody study so-called world history know that they came, Columbus discovered America in 1492.
That's right.
Okay. He was all a part of this new plan. See, the New World Order is an extension of the Jewish world takeover.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what did I just say?
So repeat that again.
The New World Order we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
if you run it down historically through the bloodline and through its genealogy, it's only an extension of what they call the Jewish takeover of the world.
Now, that's going to scare some folks.
If you read this protocol, you see everything they say they were going to do has been done and is in place. And many of the names we're talking about, they are associated in the word, because the word Jew is not particularly a people. It's a school of thought.
Okay.
So
we should stop thinking of Jews as a group and start thinking of it as a school of thought.
Yeah, let me ask you a question. Let me make a statement, because you see you're the student. In the language of the folk of the Jews, there is no J, there is no E, and there is no W.
Wow.
How can you say you something you can't even write in your language?
Wow. Now, that's interesting.
Okay. But they are Zionists. They are Ashkenazi. This is no attack. This is facts.
Mm.
Okay. We talk about them controlling money, but who can? And in protocol, they tell them taking the wealth and control and politics. Political freedom is only an idea, but not a fact. How to control things? I'm going to send you a copy of this for your library.
I'd love to have it.
Okay, and then you'll see how this whole thing ties into the New World Order, because these people that's in the New World Order. What are their pedigree? What is their breed? What's their pedigree? Let me tell it again. What is their pedigree? Who are they?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What family ties do they have? The Bushes and the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers. What are they? Are they African Americans? Are they Asians?
No.
Who are they?
Mm-hmm. So the one common denominator is they're Caucasian?
Could be. Maybe so. Who knows?
So there's no black people in these groups?
They're in, but they're only there by what? Token.
Okay.
There is a group that a lot of our people get tied into. Trying to think what the name of them.
Oh, you mean the Illuminati's?
No. It's a black group that bounces off of it. And I'm thinking slow.
Okay.
No, it'll come. Because my brother Jesse and them, they're all in it too. It'll come to me after a while.
But okay. That group is affecting things how?
When people, to make like a united front,
mm-hmm.
got to have a little everybody sprinkled around in it. But the key thing, they're not key players.
Okay.
You understand? They're controlled. They're told what to say and what not to say.
Okay. So they're not the leaders by any means?
No. They appear to be, but they are not.
Okay.
So
these people, let's just say this top echelon of the richest, if we want to call it that we have in our country, they're basically who we're calling our government, or who is actually the government, but we're thinking of the government as in the Congress, the President, and the Senate. But it's
right.
Actually this group of very elite people, correct?
A very elite group of people. There is a document, I'm trying to think of the guy's name, the Bustamante Code.
Mm-hmm.
Written by in 1920, I think it was 1929, he talks about when America went to the UN in Geneva, Switzerland, to ask for a seat. They said you could not, because America, the United States, is a corporation. It is not a country.
Mm-hmm.
United States Inc.
It's a corporation.
It's a corporation.
Hmm.
And a few years ago, they stopped using the INC at the end of it, and sort of fade into it.
Let me back up for a second, because you mentioned the fear factor. And we want to be clear that we're not the first to mention the New World Order.
President. Matter of fact, you can go on the Internet. You can read books about it. You got people like Alex Haley. David Icke and others, Alex Jones, and a whole lot of groups, a lot of white groups out there know about it.
But our presidents have even mentioned it. You know, I found things that Nixon, Bush Sr., Clinton, Obama have all spoken of the New World Order, Henry Kissinger. So this is not something that we're dreaming up, a concept that we came up with to do a show topic. The New World Order has been spoken of, you know, in government for a while. In terms of people that we consider to be in power, have mentioned this. So it's not a stretch by any means for us to discuss it, because it's already been discussed before we picked it up.
Sister, this thing was around when I came on the scene and began to do my research and began to, because you know, knowledge is power.
It is.
And I began to go back to re-educate myself after being indoctrinated, and I said, no, something is wrong with the picture. And start digging into the archives and the records and looking up things and find out that we've been badly deceived. Badly deceived, because it has came through the church, our leadership, through our education, even through the food we eat. Being in the military, they had groups in there that dealt with mind control. People say, oh man, that's theory. No. That's a fact, you know. It's out there, you know. Nothing just happened. It happens.
Everything you mentioned the NSA earlier, the National Security Alliance, and how they were going to handle population control. I think we spoke of this week about the fact how they're like Big Brother and they're watching everywhere. Give them some examples of places where we're being monitored 24/7.
Everywhere, Walmart, all your stores, even going down the highway. I'm in trucking. I'm in transportation. I'm in transportation.
Okay.
And there's a thing called a global satellite. All the trucks today on the road, including your car, have a satellite system in it.
Mm-hmm.
You call it GPS.
Wow.
Right?
Right.
Remember the black box in the airplane?
Right.
Well, the black box is everywhere.
Wow. So those cameras that we see on every corner.
Tell you what, commit a crime and see what happens.
This is true.
They're coming knocking your door saying, we got you on, especially in Dallas.
Wow.
At the corner of Cockrell Hill and I believe it's West Wheatland.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a Walgreens store there.
Mm-hmm.
I pulled up to that light one day, and I went ahead and turned at the light.
Mm-hmm.
2 weeks later, I got a letter saying that I had to come to court for running a red light. I'm going in with my defense, right? I'm going to say, I didn't do it. They pulled up the camera and showed my vehicle going through the light, taking pictures of my license plate.
All under the New World Order.
Yes, ma'am.
And cell phones as well, because they have tracking devices. They have those towers everywhere.
That's right. That's right. And we have to realize we are being – but everybody knows Big Brother's watching. Why they call him Big Brother? You know?
But I think some people take it for granted. They just assume that that's just part of living. But actually all those things are significant in one way or another, leading us into this New World Order.
We have been desensitized to worry about that camera. Don't worry about the camera sitting there. In a restaurant you go into to eat, you look up over your head and there's a little black ball sitting up there. That's not a light up there. That's a camera.
That's true. In every convenience store.
Convenience store, even a restroom. It can be behind a mirror.
Wow.
Because of the fear factor. Everybody talking about terrorism? Come on, people. Come on.
Now you really scare some folks.
Yeah,
oh, my God.
Come on now. Come on, people. Terrorism, come on.
One thing that we talked about that I found shocking was that we were talking about the New World Order will have us in really what's like the new slavery. And you mentioned the prison system has already got the black man in the new slavery.
Anybody go to prison, black, white, blue, or green, the word prison doesn't necessarily refer to a black.
That's
anybody get caught in this trap, You go in there and you work for pennies. Michael Vick.
This is true.
His story. You remember he went for millions to make it, like $12 a day?
Yeah.
Come on now.
And you know what, though? And the, well, I ain't going to say just black folks, but people, let's just say now. Are getting caught up in the system and being given life for things that they used to not give you life for.
Right. It's all a part of the New World Order and control. Why did 98% of the prisons are owned by independents?
Wow.
Individuals. Do you not know you can go out right now and buy stock in the prison system?
True. That's true.
And you can make big money because folks are going to jail.
That's guaranteed.
Guaranteed. You going to jail.
You have to make up something on you. There's somebody who's going to jail.
And crime pays. It pays the police. It pays the judge. It pays the attorney. It pays the catering service, the housing, bedding. It's big money in putting in prisons.
I guess I scratch my head because I'm trying to make sense of, I read something that said the Commission of Global Governance released a report that was titled Our Global Neighborhood, and it predicts a one world court, global tax, and global police forcing. And so just trying to make sense of all that, people cannot probably think of boundaries coming down and no more borders. And I think that's what confuses people because they cannot see past where we are today into the future that could possibly happen.
It's already in place. It's nothing new. Brother Malcolm, peace and blessings be upon him, when he went, perpetuated, he was going to go before the world court, charged America with treason, charged America with kidnapping and terrorism. He came up missing. Well, they laid it on this Islam on the Muslims, but he said he knew that the CIA had a hand in it.
Wow.
Only when he threatened to carry this country before the world court. You got the world banking. You got the world court.
Wow.
Do you recall? And I'm gonna get a little bit further here. That George Bush Jr. made a plea that nobody would be charged with war crime when they went into Iraq?
Yeah, I do.
Oh. So what's the way they go and do it at? In America, he went to the world court.
Wow.
That he could not be brought up on what they call war crimes. As the Jews did many of those who was in the Holocaust. They're still dragging them in.
Wow.
People 78 years old, they're carrying them back and trying them for war crimes.
So let's go into a little bit about the BP spill. And you were talking about how the BP spill is connected.
Oh, yes, ma'am.
I want to hear about that. How it's connected.
Oh, yeah, let's go there.
Okay, the World Warfare Treaty of 1977. Tell us how you connect the two and how they're going to, how they're somehow connected to the New World Order.
Going into the BP spill, let's use a little common sense.
Okay.
Every time they've gone out there to try to handle that BP spill, we get a storm.
Mm.
Huh?
True.
We get a storm.
True.
What was that storm called? You mean Mother Nature all of a sudden give a storm up out of nowhere? Or is somebody orchestrating this?
So you're saying that the government can control our weather patterns through weather warfare?
Yeah, let me go to a thing called HARPS,
okay.
Weapon of Mass Destruction.
Okay.
Sister, will you please read from the article?
Okay, that's HARP, HAARP.
Mm-hmm.
HARP is a weapon of mass destruction. Radio waves strong enough to cause earthquakes are controlled by the U.S. military.
Hold on a minute. What did you just read?
She said that the weather patterns can be controlled by the military.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It's the largest ionospheric heater in the world, capable of heating a 1,000 square kilometer area of the ionosphere to over 50,000 degrees. It's also a phased array, which means it's steer able and those waves can be directed to a selected target area. What they have found is that by sending radio frequency energy up and focusing it, as they do with these kinds of instruments, it causes a heating effect. And that heating literally lifts the ionic sphere within a 30-mile diameter area, therein changing localized pressure systems or perhaps the route of jet streams. Moving a jet stream is a phenomenal event in terms of man being able to do this. The problem is we cannot model the system adequately. Long-term consequences of atmospheric heating are known. Changing weather in one place can have a devastating downstream effect, and HAARP has already been accused of modifying the weather.
So you're believing that, and I'm going to say this very gently, that possibly our government is using weather patterns to affect things right here in a no-war zone here in the U.S. towards the BP oil spill?
If it wasn't possible, why would they have 50 countries to sign a treaty saying they would not use this weapon in war? Why is it that Mr. Clinton charged George Bush Jr. prior to his election coming in the second time around of breaking the weather treaty?
Wow.
Why is it that we have – I go back to Richard Pryor. Please get Superman 3, the movie. The video.
Okay.
It's in the movie.
Yeah.
How they controlled – how this man took this big computer and – froze the clouds over Columbia to destroy the coffee crop to take it over.
Wow.
It's nothing new, and it's a fact that we have every. If you go out in the morning, the sky could be ever so clear. Why are planes flying through the air spreading that white stuff you call clouds?
Oh.
Chemtrails.
So you're saying that they're spreading clouds?
They spread clouds every day.
I didn't know that.
They call it chemtrails. Look it up, chemtrails.
What did you call it? What did you call it?
It's called chemtrails.
K-I-M trails?
Is it
K-I-C-H-E-M.
C-H-E-M.
Chemtrails.
Yes.
And that's where planes spread clouds.
They go through crisscross the sky every day, and you see it, and it sets out there. Those are not natural clouds. Well, no, that's just jet stream. Jet stream, nothing. And they see the clouds.
Let me break in right here. Our phone lines are busy, but you old guys are not raising your hand, so I don't know if the topic is too heavy for you. But if you'd like to weigh in on the topic, it's 347-850-8390. Press 1 to enter the discussion. Again, the number is 347-850-8390. Okay, so every day this happens. And I've seen the planes up there, and I've seen white stuff coming out, but I don't know what I thought that was. I think so much
we walk out it ignorantly, and we breathe this stuff, right?
Right.
Okay, how clear it is, after a while planes start showing up, going through the air, spraying this white stuff, and they don't dissipate. The jet stream will dissipate when the jet goes away. That stuff hangs around. I wonder why.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's some heavy stuff.
Yeah.
I have to, you know, I'm still trying to wrap my mind around that one. tell us, you know, you were telling me a little bit about the Vatican and how the Vatican controls some things. Tell us about the Vatican and how they're connected to the New World Order.
Well, you got to have religion. You have to have economics, religion. Those things must have come into play. Those are tools of control.
Wow.
So, those are tools of control.
So religion
is greatest
is
tool
a
control.
Mind control.
Mind control, the whole thing.
Wow.
You know,
but you gotta believe in something.
Go ahead.
But you gotta believe in something, right?
No.
No.
Who said so?
No.
No, who okay. said so? The Bible says know the truth.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
So religion is man-made.
Most definitely.
Okay. So you can believe in God without having a specific religion to belong to.
So now you're going to start meddling. I'm going to make somebody real angry.
I'm just trying to understand what you're saying. So because most people associate church, religion with the right thing to do. So if now you're saying, you know, just know God and you don't have to know religion.
I didn't say that. I didn't
you didn't say that. I'm sorry.
I didn't say that. Now, see that? I told you. That's a real tricky area.
And for you, I'm sorry. What did you say? I'm sorry. I didn't mean to put words in your mouth.
People been taught that they need to believe in something.
Okay.
You know, belief is having, believing in something is true without absolute proof.
Mm.
Can you prove that there is a particular God?
Mm.
Because the word God is a generic word.
Mm.
All right? What's God's name?
It's always just been God to me.
Why do some countries have a name for their God?
Okay, true.
Okay. If it's God and a name is a name, a person, place, or a thing, it must have a personal pronoun attached to it. So what is God's name?
Mm.
Well, I got one for you. Since you brought that in.
What is it?
Revelation chapter 3, verse 14.
Okay.
I know you got your good book there. I'm going to this back to hearts.
Revelation.
All right.
Revelation 3, verse what?
14.
Okay.
This in red. And this claim that Jesus is supposed to say this, right?
Right.
All the red writing. Jesus is supposed to say it.
Okay.
How is Jesus saying this when he supposed to die in 33 A.D. on the cross? And this was written in 90 A.D. by John the Baptist.
Okay. So
wait a minute. Don't go out right there. Let's follow the story. Let's follow what allegedly that Jesus said.
Okay.
He said, unto the angels of the church. Now, first of all, if anybody looked the word church up, that word was put in the Bible in 1557.
Mm-hmm.
There was no such word as church. It was called the congregation.
Okay.
Okay? Called believers. Are disciples. The word church came from the French word kirk. Etymologies. Do the etymological study on the word. Okay? But let's use it for the sake of conversation. Until the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these things said the Amen. A-M-E-N. You see that?
Right. I had put it down and it was writing some of what you said earlier, but okay, I'm looking at it now. Go ahead.
These things says the Amen.
Mm-hmm.
Whoa, who is Amen?
Mm-hmm.
The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the Creator of God. Whoa.
Now I want to mention at this point that you've been a minister and you were a minister for how long?
40 years. 40? I passed it 40 years.
Okay.
I still have my bishop ordination, and I have my doctorate in theology.
Now, I'm going to go to the phone line for a second because somebody finally had enough nerve to I guess, ask you a question. So we're going to go to them and see what they have to say. Good afternoon, and welcome to Center Stage.
This is Deb, where are you?
Hey, how are you doing?
Well, I just got through.
we'll open up the phone line and leave you as a part of the conversation. We've been covering a little. We've been kind of jumping around, and Kahan has been enlightening us on a lot of things. We were talking about the Book of Revelation.
Well, he can enlighten you.
Okay, Kahan, go ahead and finish. You were telling us about Revelation chapter 3, verse 14.
And it says, and it calls a name.
Okay.
It says, these things says the Amen, A-M-E-N. Who is Amen? Look what it says. The faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God.
Mm-hmm.
We got a problem. Somebody created God?
Oh, okay.
You didn't see that, did you?
No, I didn't. I read it, but I didn't look at it that way. No, I did not.
Read it slow. Remember, look at the punctuation marks, commas and things. Don't read past that stuff.
Who
is Amen to create the God?
Hmm.
And I'll leave it right there. Now you tell me.
I think I'm going to have to study on that one and figure
yes,
out
ma'am.
Who is Amen.
So when people run around talking about it's over 330,000 different gods in the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I said?
Right.
330,000 different gods in the world.
Okay.
Every nation has a god.
Okay.
And all of them claim to be the supreme being.
True.
But the true creator of the universe is called electromagnetic energy.
Electromagnetic, okay.
And that's what they're playing with. It's called air.
So you, if you're not careful, your religion, whatever
don't
it
have
is.
One.
Huh?
Don't have one.
Well, okay, not talking about you, but just talking about people in general. If you're not careful, your religion could be used to brainwash you into the New World Order. Or
it's already used to brainwash you. Is Brother DeWatt still with us?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, it is used to brainwash you. The music.
Yeah, protocol number three tell you that.
Okay, protocol number three, and we have it right here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, sister. I got to get you this book. You need this textbook.
I do. I so do. Because, listen, I am definitely in the student position today. I'm learning as y'all are telling me these things because, you know, I have not studied it in depth like you guys have.
Protocol three, I believe it is. I'll have my wife to read.
Okay.
Protocol number three.
The symbolic snake.
Uh-oh.
And its significance.
Did you say the symbolic snake, S-N-A-K-E?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
The instability of the constitutional scales, terror in the palaces, power of power, economic slavery.
Uh-oh.
People's rights, monopolistic system, and the aristocracy, the army of masonry, the crescents of the going, hunger and rights of capital, the mob and the coronation of the sovereign lord of all the world, the fundamental precept in the program of the future Masonic National School, the secret of the science of the structure of society, universal economic crisis, security of ours, our people, Jews, the despotism of masonry, the kingdom of reason, loss of the guide, masonry and the great French Revolution, the king despot of the blood of Zion, causes of the invincibility of masonry, part played by secret Masonic agents, freedom.
Okay, and freedom is an illusion. Now, when you get this book, please look at that, and I think it's protocol number seven, or the number six, about the new religion they're going to create.
Really? Yeah. But it sounds to me that, and I know you, David is a Mason, but I'm going to say this just from the way, from an outsider looking in. It seems like this is very much on the dark side and that one could not truly follow an organized religion today and then actually be a member or in association with any of this because it sounds very dark. It sounds like devil worship. It sounds like, you know, secret meetings and all this sort of thing. It just seems dark. Am I on the wrong track?
Well, yeah, because, see, though it seems dark, it's full of light. Because everybody, most people belong to some kind of religion, right?
Right.
If they have no history where it came from, where I was organized, because God sure didn't do it.
Hmm.
You can't find the word religion nowhere in the Bible.
Well, right. We know man formed religion, but
okay.
So
why is that I'm religious?
Well, I'm just saying, most people that, you know, are Baptist or Methodist or Pentecostal or Church of Christ or Church of God in Christ, their religion would be something that would shun most of what it sounds like this is associated with. It seems like it's associated with the dark side, devil worship in some way.
You got to understand devil worship.
Say what?
You got to understand devil worship.
Okay, now explain to me, because it seems like this is all connected in some way to devil worship. I mean,
you said
seems like...
You said New World Order, didn't you?
I did say New World Order.
How many folks in church belong to the Eastern Star and the Sun, Masons?
Quite a few.
Okay, then I need not say any more.
Okay. I'm just making the connection that I see is like right in front of me that some kind of way that this presents a dark side and you couldn't be totally in this organized religion that we follow today and then be a part of some of this because it seems like it's satanic. It's devil worship.
If you do not know what you're following, just blindly following blind faith.
Right.
And 99.9% of people in the church, they follow by blind faith. They're there for the shaking and the movement and the preacher speaker, the orator of the preacher and his melodious voice and the great choir and all these things.
Mm-hmm.
And emotion. It's based on emotional high.
True. Sure.
They changed the music, and DeWall that can verify, back in 1970 when they changed the music.
1964.
What was it?
1964, they went from
middle C to 440. So took it off of middle C and moved to A 440. That changed the whole vibration in the church and in world and in your system. It deals with vibrations.
Your heart beat at 440 beats. So when you hit G, that puts you in an emotional thing because you start tuning on G. And they used to tune the piano and everything was tuned on middle C.
Middle C.
And,
but it's not anymore. Let's not get too sidetracked. But we go the BPR spill.
Okay, go there.
Didn't we have a storm a few months ago when they tried to close it off and they had run off out there?
Right.
Now we have another storm coming out. What's the storm name now?
I have been so busy on some other things. I haven't called TV in a couple of days. What is the storm that's heading that way?
What's the new? David,
are you aware?
I'm trying to think. I think it's a female name this time.
Okay.
But anyway, it's going to come in, and they're leaving already.
Okay.
So each time they go to cap it, a storm comes up. I wonder why. Is they using this thing to hold BP hostage to they knuckle down and bow down to what they want them to do? I know I'm crazy.
Cohen.
Uh-huh.
Acid. Sister Carol, you know anything about weather modification?
You know what? As a matter of fact, I did study that. And there's a... Nicole Hahn made me very aware of that within this last 48 hours. And yes, sir, I did study up on it. They have a treaty about that in 1977, correct?
1963, they had the first treaty.
Yeah.
Explain to the audience...
You know they accused Bush for using weather modification.
That's
because
what you announced a few minutes ago.
See, weather modification deal with electromagnetic energy, and we can fight a war right now with weather modification. I mean, we've been seeing it. When you know the knowledge, you can see it used. It's been used, and Baby Bush was accused. See, Clinton accused Bush of using it on with the earthquake that happened over there in India. Killed all those people. He broke the treaty. And it's a whole lot of symbolic things. If you have a lot of knowledge, you catch up and pick up on all the things that they're saying here.
Because I'm understanding they can do it.
I'm in my protocol now, trying to find this where it directly says that your religion.
While you're doing that, I understand that they can get it through, like they can start tsunamis and hurricanes and all types of weather patterns that we would think are just nature. Is that what you're saying, David?
Oh, yeah. It started back in, if you want to go back into the history of it, started in the late 30s with Tesla. And his experiment, when he died, they kept his, and then the Air Force had it. The Air Force perfected it. Now we done perfected weather modification. I mean, we can modify the weather. Like, see, here's what you look up in the sky. You see these jets putting out these white trail smokes.
Those white clouds. You know, Cohan just mentioned that, David, a few minutes ago.
Okay, now remember one thing. In 15 minutes, if a cloud floats on the air, in 15 minutes a cloud disappears. But if you see a cloud, just stand now. And you have to be a sky watcher. Me, I studied the sky. Me and my one of my grandsons, Yawon, Day Day, he got interested in weather modification and weather, and so I got all these books on clouds and stuff. See, a cloud go away in 15 minutes. It disappear from where you are and go to another spot. But if that cloud is holding right there, well, then that cloud is a man-made cloud by the jet blowing out the white smoke. Now, you see him in the morning, you see him in the evening. He'll come electrify, especially when a storm is coming in. I studied it so long that I done quit studying them now because it got disinterested. But for about 3 years, I would monitor it real close. I mean, Cohane and I did, we took off of work a whole year. Did he tell you that? And did tremendous research.
Yeah. And y'all taught people about the different books that they should.
Oh, did everybody in my class know about weather modification? They got the book on it. I mean, if you've been in my class, you know just about everything. And see, you was talking something interesting. Now, see, they put that sign and symbol on you in that third chapter about the symbolic snake.
Yeah,
there ain't no such thing as no devil.
No,
see what they are saying when they call you a devil is this here, Lucifer.
Yes,
the followers of Lucifer is a satanic system, meaning Satan. And if you're a follower of that system, then you're a devil. And they tricked you with all of this. You're going to hell and all that. See, heaven and hell, the knowledge of heaven and hell didn't get started till the 14th century with Dante and Farmer. That's how that got into the church.
Most definitely.
Ain't no such thing as heaven and hell. You know, you had to understand, ask yourself who, what, when, how, why, and where did it come from, and when did it hit history? I mean, what period in time did all of these things that you believe in right now that was given to you, you didn't go check out? What period in time did it hit history, and why? Now, you go back into the church history. They had 18 ecumenical councils with 21 bulls in it. Then if you study that during the Constantine, during 325 A.D., them ecumenical councils, everything you believe in, I tell you when they done augured and fussed and got it into the church, like the Trinity. The Trinity used to be mother first, father, children.
Children.
Now it's what?
The
Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost took the woman completely out of it.
Mm.
And see, if you go back into the 8th chapter of Proverbs and understand it real good, she was here for God was here, according to the 8th chapter of Proverbs. And see,
don't do that, Dua.
The female is the highest part of the Godhead. See, man, Cole couldn't be here without you. And see, this is not taught. You taught that you was evil, that you created sin in the world and all that. That's a bunch of bunk. That's not the truth. That's misinterpretation, especially if you believe in the story of Adam and Eve.
I'm
going to
give them y'all's email address so when they want to write letters about this show.
Yeah, they can write them. How much time do we have left? I got one point I want to make.
Okay.
How much time do we have left?
Okay.
How much time do we have left?
I'm sorry, 31 minutes. I didn't hear
okay.
you.
Okay. I want to address this thing about the NSA.
Okay.
Okay, the Club of Rome. She's going to read the article written in 1981. I'm going to come back to Protocol number 14 we was talking about. That's the one, David, about religion, Protocol 14. She's
okay.
going to read from this on world depopulation, the NSA agenda.
World depopulation is top NSA agenda, Club of Rome. Investigation by EIR have uncovered a planning apparatus operating outside the control of the White House, whose sole purpose is to reduce the world's population by 2 billion people through war, famine, disease, and any other means necessary. This apparatus, which includes various levels of the government, is determining U.S. foreign policy. In every political hotspot, El Salvador, the so-called are of crisis in the Persian Gulf, Latin America, Southeast Asia, and in Africa, the goal of U.S. foreign policy is population reduction. The targeting agency for the operation is the National Security Council's Ad Hoc Group on Population Policy.
Mm-hmm.
Its policy planning group is in the U.S. State Department Office of Population Affairs, established in 1975 by Henry Kissinger. This group drafted the Carter administration's Global 2000 document, which calls for global population reduction, and the same apparatus is conducting the civil war in El Salvador as a conscious depopulation project.
Whoa. Okay?
Okay.
See? So, these we're trying to get people to understand, everything is not just happening. Cause and effect. Everything is being orchestrated by someone pulling a string or a group of people pulling a string. The Club of Rome is a think tank. We told you that of various minds coming together, deciding who should and who should not live.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's bad.
And I agree. I agree. And so
we're talking about being free. Freedom is an illusion.
We're not free. So sometimes when we see famine in these other countries and we wonder why our government is not going over to assist them, it may just be that they're letting it just happen so that they can eliminate so many people at one time.
What did the president of Haiti say when he sent the troops down there? We're not at war. We just have had a tsunami.
Mm.
We need help. We don't need army in here.
Mm-hmm.
But they was in there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So we have to look back at what's really happening.
See, I read somewhere that it is said that the corporate portion of the New World Order pyramid is dominated by international bankers and big pharmaceutical companies. So that would lend you to think that the collapse of the banking system and medicine The collapse of the banking system was something that was actually put in.
It was orchestrated.
Orchestrated.
Yeah.
And so then that will lend you to think also that medicine is not here to cure you. Because
your side effects are worse than your condition.
Exactly. So if it was here to cure you, then it would take the pharmaceutical companies out of business.
That's right. They're
just band-aiding your problems.
They ain't more problems. They ain't band-aiding anything.
Here's a pill
that will stop this, but you may have side effects. You may lose your eyeball, your heart may fall out, your toes may drip, but take this pill.
Sister Karen.
Yes, sir.
Three parts to the New World Order. You got the economical part, the religion part, and then you got the political part.
Right.
Of that. Sister Cohen, could you turn to protocol number one, and at the right-hand side of the page, could you read for Sister Karen and her listening audience where it said, politician freedom is an idea but not a fact? Could you read that paragraph there for me?
Let me ask you this while she's getting that. Again, how can people get this book called Protocol so that they won't think we're reading from something that doesn't really exist? Is it in publication, and where can you find it?
You can get it at Amazon, I imagine.
Redone it, Sister Hines. You got some commentary on it, but Brother DeWar and myself and a few actually have the minutes book. The 70 pages. Anything beyond 70 pages is been tampered with. We have the minutes. What we're reading is from the minutes itself, not the book. The minutes from the meeting.
Right, so we're reading from the book that was burned in 1912.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
And the Big Mama had a copy of that. I don't know where the old woman got it, but she had it back there in the books that she gave me. You see, Big Mama was 112 when she went away.
Okay, so there's...
I'm going to read now.
Okay.
Political freedom is an idea, but not a fact. This idea one must know how to apply whenever it appears necessary, with this bait of an idea to attract the masses of the people to one's party for the purpose of crushing another who is in authority. This task is rendered easier if the opponent has himself been infected with the idea of freedom, so-called liberalism,
we hear the word,
and for the sake of an idea, is willing to yield some of his power. It is precisely here that the triumph of our theory appears. The slackened reins of government are immediately by the law of life, caught up and gathered together by a new hand, because the blind might of the nation cannot for one single day exist without guidance, and the new authority merely fits into the place of the old already weakened by liberalism.
They say you're so blind you can't lead yourself.
Ouch. Well, you know what?
You don't know how to govern your own life, so we got to show you how to do it.
Someone said that Steve Harvey once said, it's easy to fool poor people.
It is. Because you're hungry.
I never thought about it like that. But you know what?
Because you're hungry.
That's it. I guess that's it. And so if you got a group of people who are barely making it paycheck to paycheck, they want to believe in something.
Yeah, you know. Why not believe in yourself?
Well,
that's the first law of preservation, itself.
Well, if you believed in yourself, you wouldn't be in the position that you was in. So obviously, you're looking for someone else who's richer and you think is smarter to lead you out of your situation.
It's ludicrous to look for anything beyond yourself to help you.
Mm.
Powerful people, listen to me carefully. Powerful people do not teach powerless people how to take their power away.
Okay, so repeat that again. Powerful people.
Powerful people do not teach powerless people how to take their power away.
Okay.
Why would I give you a book to give you power to take my power away?
You know, in my study of the New World Order, I found that they said in order for the New World Order to work, they will have to convince people to abandon their freedoms that they're accustomed to in exchange for security. Then to me that says...
Twin Towers.
Ain't that what Barack trying to make you do?
Twin Towers.
Fear factor.
Fear factor, Twin Towers.
You know, so I can believe that because someone said this week, and I'm copying this. This is not me. That hope is a greater emotion than fear, but fear is the most effective.
They use it every day.
Every day. Every
you
day.
Said about the devil a while ago. The word devil only means adversary.
Mm.
So we're all the devils, one way or the other. I'm an adversary.
Wow.
Against lies and deception. Brother DeWatt taught a class for us for a number of years called Deceptive Intelligence.
Hmm.
We're deceived daily because we don't look at the things deep enough to see what's really what's going on behind the curtain.
Hmm. Let's talk a little bit about how the New World Order, and especially I want to say the Illuminati has in the past they will fund, assemble, and then train the opposition and then create a conflict.
That's how you create wars. It's called supply and demand. That's simple. The drug dealer go and pass out free drugs. Come back. You hook, you got to buy.
Mm.
Same thing. It's the same old story, same old soup warmed over. That's how you hook people. They stood on corners in Dallas and hand out free cigarettes, Lucky Strikes, Camel, you know. Then you get hooked on it. Now you're dying with cancer.
Wow. So okay, let me ask you this. So, okay, for somebody who may, you know, still not believe in any of this, how am I being brainwashed? You know, nobody's coming to me and telling me anything. How am I being brainwashed? But technically we're being brainwashed through the media, are we not?
Through your food, the media, through the five senses. Through your eyes, through your taste buds, through your ears, through your skin, you're under attack.
So we're being brainwashed through our skin, through our eyes? I mean,
yeah.
Through our taste buds?
Yep.
You see?
No. Well, listen, I'm just trying to break it down to the
denominator.
If I can understand if I watch the news, that I can be affected by what I see and hear on the news. But I guess what I'm trying to understand is how is my taste and my skin going to be brainwashed, is my question.
Through emotions. Everything leads to your emotions.
Wow.
Touch.
Sister Karen.
Yes, sir.
How do you learn? Ask yourself a question. How do I learn? How did I first learn?
Okay.
I first learned by hearing.
Mm-hmm.
The Jews call it the Shema, to hear. That's the first commandment called Shema, to hear. You learn through hearing in your mama's womb. When you get here, you learn through seeing and hearing. when you get 3 years old, you start imitating what you see and what you hear. You bond with a brain. A mind is given to you. Your mind is given to you through seeing and hearing.
Okay.
I taught this class a minute. The science of the mind. I taught that for many years. Is how do the mind work? You know, everybody think the mind is the brain. That's obvious. It is not. Your mind is not your brain. Your mind is a school of thoughts. And see, it's not your brain. And so this is how you learn through seeing and hearing. The TV, television. What? Break it down. That's a compound word.
Television.
He's telling you through vision.
Television. Let me back up 1 second because I did not clarify when I spoke of the Illuminati and how they will fund, assemble, and train the opposition. It's said that there's wars in which there's examples of this, and in this reading that I found, they said World War One and Two, the Korean War, Vietnam, the Gulf War, were all orchestrated by the Illuminati.
Right. All wars have been. You can go all the way back into the walls, back into the Civil War, the French. I tell you what, French history, that the 13th century France. Go back into the French war. Go back into the history of France, and then you see the New World Order getting its start.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so that far back.
Back into the history of France, and you see Weinstrap. I have a problem with his name.
Yeah,
you see him working right there. You see the Illuminati. Where, if you really want to study the Illuminati, start at the French Revolution. Start with French history in the 13th century. You nail him right on the head right there. You got to know that all of this goes way, way back. And then who financed all these walls?
Mm.
You will find Rothschild financed all the walls.
Wow.
I mean, I got some stuff here. I mean, Rothschild lost $50 billion with the Silver Wall. He financed the South.
Ms. Hines.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Charlie Wilson's war. Type it in and look it up. He's the one to start the war in Afghanistan.
Really?
When the Russians was fighting Afghanistan, he went over there and armed them with shoulder-mounted artillery to knock down the helicopters. Then we jumped on the side of Russia with Reagan to fight against them. They said, whose side y'all going to be on? You going to be on the Afghanistan side or Russia side? Because they already with the Russians that ran them out. Then we started financing both sides of that same money. But Sister Cohen has found Protocol 14 about religion. She's going to read it now.
Protocol number 14, the religion of the future, Thatcher conditions of selfdom, inaccessibility of knowledge regarding the religion of the future, pornography and the printed matter of the future.
Mm-hmm.
When we come into our kingdom, it will be undesirable for us that there should exist any other religion than ours of the one God with whom our destiny is bound up by our position as the Christian people and through whom our same destiny, is united with the destinies of the world. We must therefore sweep away all other forms of belief. If this gives birth to the atheists whom we see today, it will not, being a traditional stage, interfere with our views, but will serve as a warning for those generations which will hearken to our preaching of the religion of Moses, that by its stable and thoroughly elaborated system has brought all the people of the world into subjection to us. Therein, we shall emphasize its mystical right, on which, as we shall say, all its educative power is based.
Okay.
Then at every possible opportunity, we shall publish articles in which we shall make comparisons between our beneficent rule and those of past ages.
Who do people say the chosen people of God is?
The Jews.
And they gave you the book to say they was. And we say that, you know, they Then who are you? They're telling them, who are you? The wall.
But you know what, though, Sister Karen?
But we know the real chosen people is. It's in the book.
You see, the Jews tell you they're the chosen people of the book, but then they also told you, they say they're the chosen people of God, but they'll tell you who God's chosen people, which is us.
Yashiron.
And that's where you get all confused. The Jews don't say that they're the chosen. They say in the book they're the chosen people of God. But listen to what they're saying. They're saying that it was the chosen people was the lost children of Abraham, which Abraham had a third wife, Keturah. And you have to understand that them people was the chosen people of Abraham. He tell you about another people that was actually the chosen. He was the chosen people of God to tell you about us.
Okay.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
No.
And see, that's kind of deep there because, see,
the new world
he tells you about another people, another nation of people that would be 400 years up under Magog and Gog. They wouldn't know their language. They wouldn't know anything about their heritage. Well, who in the world is that? That's the only people that don't know nothing about their existence of people that call themselves African Americans. The black people that's in America that was born and raised here, we don't know our language. We don't know nothing about our history. We don't know where we come from. The Jews say, this was the people, chosen people of God. Until we get our act together, then the universe, tell them
all
about
right.
The code. You got to understand that our language sent energy into the universe. And when you ain't got that universe with this language of the old original language, you cannot get the power. Other people's language going into the universe, they get the power. Explain that to her, Cole.
It says that the language is a bastardized language, and he told us that we have to get away from that. He would give us a pure language. The language is Lashon Kodash. The language you find written in the character set is a geometric writing system that's able to unlock the mysteries of the cosmos. Language of today is I was written on 22 letters, which will deal with the 22 letters of your DNA or your chromosome system. Everything beyond that throws you out of balance. It would take another show to really get into it in depth. I don't want to leave people confused out there, so we can do a show on language.
Well, it's in the Bible. So it says what?
I have to go back and get my documents so I can show it, walk it through it. It says about a cursed language. They told you to don't use that language.
Go back to a pure language. That's in Zebediah.
Zephaniah 14.
Habakkuk.
Yeah.
We got about 12 minutes left in the segment. Let's try to give these people a overview of what we discussed today. And one thing I want to tie in is we talked a lot about things that people may have never heard of, but there's also groups that people have heard of, like the United Nations and the World Health Organization and FEMA that are directly connected with the New World Order. I mean, FEMA is said to be the organization that's going to police the New World Order. So trying to make them understand is not all about stuff that you've never heard of before. There are groups and people that you have heard of that are directly connected to this thing.
By
all
means.
Agree with that?
There's another group called the Society of Cincinnati.
This is
got to know about them.
No, I've never heard. Okay, how is the Society of Cincinnati connected?
That's another show.
Oh, that's another show.
You look it up. It's on the internet. You can do it. I teach secret societies.
Okay.
So I got so many secret societies in my head, it don't make sense. But the order called the Society of Cincinnati, you got to know whether, because that deal with all the presidents and it deal with all the, you see the presidents that's been in it, been seven presidents in it. But learn that history of the secret, the Society of Cincinnati is a historical group that was started in the United States and founded in France and the United States in 1783. I don't know if you can type it in to get it on the internet, but I do have the history of it and who all was in it, you know, and what all they did and everything. I do have that. And like I said, come to class, Sister Karen. I'll turn you on to all of this stuff.
I don't have any choice now because y'all didn't whet my appetite for learning, so I definitely got to go deeper into the subject. Let me throw out one more thing out there, that it is said that some of the cooperative participants in the New World Order already is the U.S., England, Germany, Italy, Australia, and New Zealand. So if that doesn't give you an idea of global, nothing else will. So it is not just about the United States, it's not just about England, it's worldwide, and it's going to affect us all, not just here in the United States. So that's just something else I wanted to go throw out there. But we have 9 minutes. Is there an overview you guys want to give the people to just kind of tie this up into a nice bow?
I want to invite you to do some research, and I'm going to give a couple of books they may want to go take a look at.
Okay.
One will be Protocol of the Lion Elders of Zion. The other will be Pawns in the Game. The other book will be Behold the Pale Horse. These books you need to look into. Tuning of the Matrix by David Icke and The Big Secret.
Another show now.
That's just four books. That's it. I'm not giving it more. Like I told you before, Brother David and I, we have read over 15,000 books, and we can document this, everything from aardvark to zebra.
Okay.
We studied oceanography. We studied hematology. We studied it all. We spent a whole year. Not that we try to be know-it-all, but we say we didn't want to be ignorant of the world we live in. And how can we help? You don't want to walk through this world and be ignorant. What ignorant means not to know, but just want to be stupid and ignorant.
Right.
That's the sad thing.
The reason I just cut Kohan off, y'all, is because David and Kohan are going to come back and do a later show with me that's going to be must reads about all the different books that you all read and why they're going to be important to our library in this lifetime. And so that's the show that's upcoming, and I look forward to it. And so I'm trying to get him not to give up all the good today, but definitely I look forward to doing that show with you guys. David,
right.
Is there anything you want to say in closing? We have about 8 minutes left.
Oh, no, I just, you know, I'm glad that you're getting the information out. And to be ignorant, I always say, anybody that knows, I get up in a New York second when I just did a lecture earlier. I'll tell you quick, point blank, I'm an ignorant man.
Ooh.
And to be ignorant means that knowledge is not available.
But
once knowledge to get available, you don't have to be ignorant. Being ignorant is by choice.
Okay.
I mean, because it's too much information out now for you to be ignorant. You have no reason to be ignorant to nothing that you call knowledge, to your religion.
But don't you have to be careful of what you read, because anybody can author a book. So just going out there and not reading the right material can be just as damaging.
Right, you got to know what to read. What we did, we read so many books, and then you weigh in balance of what the truth is, and the truth is there. You recognize the truth when you hear it and see it, you know. I mean, you can't lie about certain things, you know. Like I always say, the lie was given to you in the school system, but the lie is buried in the library.
Wow.
That's
one of David's fun things.
Look at the library, you pull the lie out real quick.
Let me ask you something. So isn't, for those people that are Christian, and they may wonder, well, okay, where's the New World Order in the Bible? Wasn't
the New World Order in the Bible is, if you understand Daniel's, I go through that with it. That's a whole new show. That's
but
a whole
that was
show.
Like Daniel's and Revelation spoke of this New
you
World Order.
You have to go through Daniel's, Daniel's and Revelation, but Daniel's, if you can understand the prophecies in Daniel's, then you can understand. You bring it out of the old world order up into the new world. Those signs of the leopard with the forehead, the lion with the, who are those nation of people now? The dragon with the 10 horns and the one big horn. It used to be 12 of them, but two of them was lost when you deal with Astragals and the Vistagals. They just became the Goths, so you lost two of those tribes out of there.
Also again.
And you got the bear. Bring all of those up into nowaday signs and symbols. That's dealing with signs, symbols, and numbers on that.
I think if you check out, like, Revelation 13 and 1, and I think David chapter 7, verse 20 and so on, it'll kind of give you some insight as to what we're talking about as far as biblical teachings about that.
Oh, yeah, it's no problem. If you go into Quran, look in the book called The Cave.
Okay,
it's in every book, you know. So We found it in every book through heavy, deep studying.
And even in the Quran, was it not?
Oh, the Quran is awesome. I mean, the Quran is more in-depth than the Bible. I mean, the Quran was here before the King James Bible was here. Remember that. Always remember that. Before the King James Bible came in the 15th century, the Quran was wrote in the 6th century. And see that the people get it confused, you know, with Christianity beginning back there. Oh, no, this Quran is a very deep book of nothing but wisdom and knowledge and a lot of science in it. So, I mean, the Torah, the Tanakh, those are deep books. Yeah. Those are the books that was wrote first.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, be careful because you got some commentaries out there, some rewrites, some commentaries. Make sure you get the right stuff.
Okay, and you know what, you all, I'm about to do a show on the Tea Party. And one thing I found out, and I think David and I agree, and I don't know if we have spoken about it, Kohan, the Tea Party, we're looking at them as though they're the bad guys, but there's really nothing wrong with a group of people who are wanting to police the government.
That's right.
Nothing
wrong with the Tea Party. The black folks don't understand the Tea Party. Because they think they racist and prejudiced and stuff. Ain't nobody now racist and prejudiced. Ain't nobody prejudiced against Barack Obama. It's his policies.
And
the
they have a right to
enforce.
Yeah. Say what, Kohan?
I would say if they don't want the Tea Party, they need to buy some tea cakes to go with their tea. That's all.
You know, I'm inviting them to be a part of my show or come on
to
my
know,
show.
Tell them to come on and be on the show. You know, think about it. We need all information put out there. So how do you know about a group once they tell their ideology?
Yeah.
Then you know where they're coming from.
Yeah. I mean, because, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with saying, you know, to the government, we disagree with you at some point. We're not expected to just agree totally with everything the government does. And so we shouldn't look at the Tea Parties as some monsters. I think in a lot of cases what they're saying is very valid.
Right.
We do need the government to not –
go back into the Constitution and the Founding Fathers. Didn't need the role that the government is supposed to play. We are supposed to pay taxes to the government for protection of invading us. That's all. The government ain't supposed to bail out states when they have national emergency. But then if you start asking the government to bail you out, and the government own you then. Every time you ask the government for something, he owns you. So the less government you have, the more that you are a free man. If you want to be a slave, start asking the government to help you. The government don't mind helping you, but that ain't his role. His role is for us to pay taxes from him, rent the land from the government. The government pays the military to protect us against our enemies. That is all these states with these national disasters, the state supposed to pay for that, not the government. You're asking the government to bail you out with this here and pay you welfare. The government ain't got no business paying nobody no welfare and all of that stuff. That's how come the government is broke.
Okay, guys, we got 2 minutes. Tell them how to reach you. David Wise, tell them how they can reach you if they'd like you to come on their show.
The Wire, you can reach me at 469-556-4786.
Okay, Kohan, tell them how they can reach you.
They can reach me at Kohan. You can just be 318-341-2160.
Okay. You guys, thank you so much for doing the show today. I have, again, enjoyed myself learning more about the New World Order. I hope my audience was enlightened as well. We're down to our last few seconds, but I want to say good night to everyone. Thank you for tuning in, and we will see you next week on our next segment of Center Stage. Bye-bye.
Layla Toe.